Yes. Hello, sir, and who's going to come as well?
I am.
Okay, the Honorable Miss Windhouse will be serving as a lead, so just hold on, sir. And the next wrestler here will be the Honorable Miss Windhouse.
Good morning. Mr. Flowers?
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Could you please, to start the hearing, could you please state your full name and your ABC number?
Marshawn Flowers, 224627.
Thank you, sir. Your attorney before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and this is for a revocation hearing. Let me get your paperwork. And this is concerning the two allegations that are on your warrant. So I see that you were notified about this hearing on August 2nd. You signed a form that day, do you remember?
I have a hard time remembering. I can't remember that, but I do remember I missed one task, and I missed a face-to-face with my parole officers. I had to enroll myself in, on the 5th of July, I had to enroll myself into a mental health hospital so I could get some help.
Okay, so well, this is just, this. What I'm talking about is the form that told you that the hearing would be held today. You signed it. You signed it on August 2nd. I have it right here, and it just told you that your hearing would be held today. And the reason this is important is on that form is a list of your hearing rights, and one of your rights is you could hire an attorney if you wanted, or you could represent yourself. So did you hire an attorney today, or who do you represent yourself?
I have no money to hire an attorney.
Okay. It's just your right if you wanted to, but it's not mandatory. So if you represent yourself, that's just fine too. And I'd like to introduce you to the board. If you look at the video screen on your right, so my left, down at the end there, is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Right next to him is the Honorable David Neal. Right next to me here in the middle is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. And over on my other side here is the Honorable Michael Johnson. We also, and I'm Gail Rittenhouse, I'm sorry, and I'll be the lead for your hearing. We also have in the room, and you'll be able to see him now, Mr. Westby, who's with the Department of Corrections, who will represent the department and your parole officer in your hearing today. Okay, sir? So I need to swear to both of you in. So Mr. Flowers and Mr. Westby, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Flowers?
Yes, I do.
And Mr. Westby?
I do.
Thank you. And Mr. Westby, I have a question before we get too far in here, and it just involves on the warrant itself, the sentence ending date or the community supervision end date is May 4th, and someone has written at the top an end date of May 14th. So I'm just wondering which of those is correct, because there was there abscond time?
Yes, there's 10 abscondes.
Is that it?
So
okay.
That pushed the CSE back from May 4th to May 14th.
All right, gotcha. Thank you. Okay. Sorry, Mr. Flowers. Back to you. So your hearing will be held in two phases. And phase one, to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of supervision. And then phase two, to determine if your supervision would be reinstated or revoked. So for phase one, the first part of the hearing, what I'll do is I will read each one of these allegations to you, and when I'm finished with each, I need you to tell me if it's true or false. Okay, sir?
Okay.
All right, so we'll start phase one, and here is the first allegation, and that is that you were in violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about June 25th, 2018. Per the task individual testing compliance summary dated July 3rd, 2018. So, Mr. Flowers, is that true or false?
Yes, that's true.
That's true? Okay, I think you were starting to explain that before, but okay, so I'll mark that one as true. And then the other one, the second one, is that you were in violation of condition number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about July 2nd, 2018, as directed on June 30th, 2018. And it says here the offender is actively avoiding supervision. So, Mr. Flowers, is that one true or false?
It is true because I was trying to get myself enrolled into Terrell's early that day and all throughout that day.
Okay.
I was looking for a job because I have mental health issues.
Okay. All right. Then based on Mr. Flowers' admission, I'm going to move to find him delinquent, as he did violate terms and conditions of community supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed in the criminal laser company.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself. Second, Mr. Johnson. Agreed, Dr. Wright. Mr. Neal. Mr. Kanianis. Okay, so Mr. Flowers, we'll go to phase two of your hearing, which is probably the more important one to you, and that is as to whether your supervision would be reinstated or revoked. So before we get too far into phase two, though, I'm going to ask Mr. Westby to give us some background information. So just stay on the line. We'll be right back and ask you some questions in a moment. Mr. Westby?
Okay.
On May 4th, 2018, Mr. Flowers was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested July 12th, 2018 by the Fugitive Apprehension Unit for a number of charges. He was back in DOC custody on July 12th, 2018 with an adjusted community supervision end date of May 14th, 2019, which reflects 10 abscond days. Current conviction, 2012, theft, 1 year. 2012, aggravated assault, 7 years. He has a prior conviction in 2007 for theft of means of transportation, 3.5 years. This is his second term of DOC. CUIR score, 5.5, mental health score, 3, substance abuse score, 1. There's no gang information noted. Prior term of supervision, 2010, TIS release, arrested on new felony, false swearing, obstruction, reached CCD in custody. His disciplinary violations are significant, with drugs, arson, threats, violence, and staff assaults noted. After his return to the OC, he received disciplinary on August 1st, 2018 for obstructing staff by refusing to take down a machine off his cell door during a food tray pickup. Other arrests, 1999, theft, Arizona, juvenile probation, 2000, criminal trespass, first degree, Arizona, juvenile probation, 2004, aggravated assault, Arizona, juvenile probation. 2006, robbery, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. His community risk score is a G6BA.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Okay, back to you, Mr. Flowers. We also have a little written summary of your what was going on during your supervision. And it looks like you were initially going to be released homeless, but you figured out, it looks like you were approved to live with your mother, Melanie Ferguson, in Glendale on 55th Avenue, is that right?
Yes, miss.
Okay, and then you went, it looks like you stayed there about maybe 6 weeks or so, and then on June 22nd...
We got kicked out.
You got kicked out?
Yeah, we got kicked out of the apartment. I had no acknowledgement about you being kicked out. My mom wanted to move from the spot that we were living in, and the manager was, she was having some kind of complications with the manager, so I kind of been bouncing around from house to house. Like I told my probation officer, Tony Josh,
yeah,
that I had...
Because it looks like you went to live with your brother, too, right?
Yes, I did go to live with my brother, but I had no means of transportation, and my mom had a car, and I had no money and no job at the time.
Okay.
I actually had a job when I got incarcerated this time, and I missed the task, but I did make up for it.
Right.
I did make up for it, like my probation officer asked me to, and this time when I was absconding from the 5th of July, I checked myself into a mental health hospital. I told Tony that I had mental health issues, and it was hard out there for me. It was always hot, and I was kind of, after being incarcerated for 7 years, it kind of wore down my brain to like mush to where I couldn't fully function while I was incarcerated in a maximum capacity prison the whole time.
Okay.
I just sit around here and I had to talk to the site, and I just got mental health issues, and sometimes it's kind of hard for me to get around.
Okay.
Because I have no currency to catch the bus or any kind of fare, and from where I was living on the west side of Phoenix, it was hard for me to get all the way down to Grand Avenue, and I couldn't even think of walking as a priority.
It's too hot, yeah. So what kind of work were you doing? You said you had a job. What kind of work were you doing?
I was working at Freshies Food.
Okay.
And I was working as a company, and I was working at still teaching materials, and then my last job, right before I got locked up, was classic roofing, where I actually cut my handle due to my mental health issues. It wasn't intentionally, I just got kind of pissed off, and I cut my hand open because the voices were telling me to do it, that they would go away, but they didn't go away.
Well, sir, do you take meds? Do you take meds, sir, for your mental health? Is it?
Yes, I take medication. Yes, I take Zoloft, Zyprexa, and Trileptal, and I took other medications on the street that helped me out with my anxiety and my bipolar disorder, my mood swings.
Did they help or no?
I was wondering if I could call my mom to be a witness on my behalf. I told her to show up. She has paperwork of my release from UPC. I got released on the 11th, and I went back straight to my brother's house to go, and he never gave me the paper that my probation officer had dropped off at the house, so I had no acknowledgments. But I was going to contact him once I got out of UPC, which is a mental health hospital.
Okay, hold on one second, Mr. Flowers. I'm going to ask Mr. Respy something. Is there any indication that he had been in the hospital? Because we have notes, sir. Just hold on. We have program notes on the computer. And Mr. Respy can look those up.
There is a note on June 22nd, 2018 by Senior Officer Allen where he was being staffed for his misdoing on May 30th, the positive delay for GNC on June 4th, 2018. And he, Federer claims to have mental health issues, but the last 9 months of diagnosis was claims to have hearing issues, hearing voices, stress, anxiety, PTSD. He was provided with information for a UPC in Taros. The assigned PO was directed to refer the offender to Taros for evaluation and services.
Right.
He was an extension of increased contacts and increased UAs. And then after, okay, I'm seeing here there is a notation also that same day by his PO where it says the offender will be referring to UPC and Charles for psychic evaluation due to mental health issues. However, there is no other mention here in the chrono notes of any sort of contact stating that he was in UPC. UPC would be where he would be getting his psych medication. He would be attending Taros for counseling. It's not inpatient. And then he was supposed to report. The PO was, well, he was supposed to have a contact visit on July 5th at the residence, but when he dropped the letter off, the non-compliance letter for the missed UA that was on June 26th, he went to the residence. The offender was not on that compliance letter, was left for the offender to report. That was on to report on July 2nd, 2018.
Okay.
So at least up to June 30th, there was no mention of him being in UPC. I don't know when he went to UPC, but he did not inform his PO per what these chronicles are showing.
Okay, but the PO did know that he was having mental health issues.
Right.
Okay, all right, good. So Mr. Flowers, were you in the hospital, like physically?
I went to the hospital. I stayed at the hospital from the 5th all the way to the 11th. I was wondering if you guys could call my mom. They said something in the paper about you guys being able to contact my mom.
Yeah, do you have her phone number? Do you have her number?
Yes.
Okay, what is it?
It's 40-667-3477.
Sure, and what's her name, sir?
Melanie.
Oh, Melanie, okay. Melanie Wilkerson?
Yes.
Yes, this is Arizona Board of Executive Diplomacy. It's our understanding that you might be interested in participating in the hearing for your son today. Am I correct?
No, sir.
Is this Ms. Wilkerson? form, let me repeat it. It's 480-667-34...
667.
3-4-7-7. 3-4-7-7. This try it again. Executive Clemency, and we're holding a hearing with your son, and he indicated that you might like to participate in the hearing. Is that true?
Excuse me?
Can I just verify this is Ms. Wilkerson?
Ma'am, you have it.
Okay, ma'am.
May I ask this, is this 480-667-3477?
And this is concerning who?
Tomorrow Flowers?
Yes, ma'am.
Concerning what?
His parole hearing
is today.
His parole hearing today?
Yes, ma'am. It's at this very moment, and he said that he wanted you to participate.
How am I supposed to, where is this going to be held at?
It's being done by telephone. By phone. That's why we're calling you at this time, ma'am.
Okay.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. So,
okay, his parole hearing is today.
He's at this very moment. He's on the line at this time himself, and his hearing has already started, and he asked if we would give you a call, and the Honorable Ms. Windhouse is conducting his hearing, so the next voice you will hear will be Ms. Windhouse. Okay, ma'am?
Okay.
Okay, so Ms. Wilkerson, we're partway through the hearing, but we've established that your son had was possibly in the hospital, and that you had some paperwork that showed that.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Do you know what dates that was about, that he was in the hospital?
I'm not too sure, but I know it was around the time he was supposed to have went to go see his parole officer, and it was close to the weekend. So I'm pretty sure that I couldn't get a hold of him because I was trying to leave voice message on his answering machine.
Right.
And I asked him if he got any messages, and he told me he did not. But I did call the number that he gave to me when he said he did not give me that number, and he did give me that number because how else would I have gotten the number? So he gave me a different number. And I even put his name down under that number. But I did try to contact him to let him know that my son was in the hospital because when I took him to the hospital, I told him that he was having some issues and some mental issues, psychiatric. So I wanted them to talk to the doctor and see if they could keep him so they can help him.
Okay.
And they did that.
Okay.
They did just that.
Okay. And did your son live with you for part of the time that he was out?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So he did live with you. And were there any letters delivered to your house by the parole officer?
No, ma'am.
No. Okay. Okay. Because I think there was some attempt to communicate via letter. And
I tried to tell the parole officer that I was moving and that I didn't want my son to reside with me because I thought it would be better because me having a vehicle, I could get him to and from work and to places he needed to be, which I did also.
Okay.
I got him to the Carroll. I got him to be evaluated. I got him into the hospital to be evaluated and to seek help. He has paperwork that shows other facilities that he could go to. He could attend group and classes. He did get a job. Matter of fact, he got two jobs. He got a roofing job that paid $15 an hour, and he was supposed to start, but he couldn't start because he was in the hospital with his hand cut open.
Right.
And he did get another job at Freshly's, which is on 56th Avenue in Buckeye.
Right. Okay.
So he did have two jobs.
Right. He mentioned
one was a night job and one was a day job.
And he also mentioned that you were very nice and was able to take him around to his appointment.
Yes, ma'am. I wanted to make sure my son would not go back to incarceration.
Okay, ma'am.
Because I thought that he didn't need that. He needed psychiatric help. But I figured that if he could keep a job, two jobs at that, that would keep him busy and keep him away from people that would influence him to be incarcerated.
Okay, ma'am. Well, thank you. Is there anything else that you want to tell the board without repeating? Is there anything else you thought of that?
I feel that if he were to be released, that he will seek the help he needs, and I will get on him like I did. I made sure that he did everything that he was supposed to do, except for the minor incident with the parole office.
Okay.
That's the only thing that he did not do.
And does he have a place to live, do you know, if he were
yes,
to be?
Yes, ma'am.
And where would that be?
That would be 3675 West Osborne Road, apartment 215.
Okay, so he does have a place then?
Yes.
Okay.
He did have a place. That was my place.
Right.
Yes.
And he lived with his brother, it looks like, at some point too, so.
He went to start to stay with his brother, but I felt there was too much pressure on his brother because his brother had just got, my oldest son had gotten shot in a drive-by. It was a random drive-by, and it was a lot of, you know, stress. I mean, my son went there so he could help him because he needed help. He couldn't lift anything. He was barely, starting to learn how to recuperate to try to get up to walk on his own 2 feet.
Okay.
And
all right, ma'am.
That's why he was there.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for your testimony. So back to you, Mr. Flowers. It looks like you did have one urine sample in June that came back positive for marijuana, sir.
Yes, I told my probation officer, Josh Tony, that while I was in here, because I have a hard time functioning, I smoked pot one time in here. And I didn't pay for it, you know, it was just something somebody gave to me. I should have been listening. I've been locked up for 7 years, and I've been drug free. And just that one time I smoked that, and I didn't tell Tony Josh that I was going to be dirty. That was the only way that I was going to drop dirty. I wasn't out there smoking and drinking and carrying on. I went straight to look for a job, and I had a job, but it was through Premier Temp Service, so
okay,
I got fired at any time. I only had the job for like 3 weeks to a month. Then I had to go get another job so I could help my mom out and help my brother because he got shot in the chest twice, and he had these big old holes in his chest and a hole in his neck so he could breathe.
Okay, sir.
And I was just kind of going through it, but I have mental health issues, and I hear stuff and stuff, so I'm a good person. I try to help out a lot, but I just was going through something myself, and I see it, like, the stuff I'm going through, I see people at the bus stop talking to themselves. I'm like, well, maybe I'm not the only one with this. These symptoms, I have like post-traumatic stress disorder, bipolar disorder, I have mood swings, I have anxiety, I have a whole lot of stuff going on with me, and Josh pointed me in the right direction to go get some help, because sometimes I even feel like healing myself in here, and I think about hanging and stuff, and I just need some help, man. I stay here, like, there's a lot of people who kill themselves behind this stuff, and I don't want to just sit here and not be helped because I can't get the actual help in here that I can get out on the streets.
Okay, Mr. Flowers.
It's not like I was doing bad or I upscaled or anything. I was going to get in contact with him as soon as I got out of the hospital. He happened to drive by the house, and I seen him, and this was right after I got released from the hospital on the 11th. I had seen him on the 12th. I was already back at my older brother's house.
Okay, sir. So, Mr. Flowers, the board is going to go into discussion, And we do all our discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. So we haven't talked about your case before at this moment. So, but we just ask that you stay on the phone and just remain silent, and we will be back with you in just a few minutes. Okay, sir? So just stand by. Thank you. And same for you, Ms. Wilkerson. The board is in discussion. Okay, so the board is now in discussion. Mr. Flowers has had some challenges while he was out. He was working two jobs. That's very commendable. And he, as he said, was not out there committing new crimes. He did have some difficulty getting around. All his mom was driving himself, but he didn't have a lot of money for the bus and things like that. He was somewhat participating in treatment, or at least getting assessed, but he did submit a 1 urine sample that was positive for marijuana, which is a violation of his parole. And he also absconded for 10 days. I'm kind of torn on this one because I understand that he does need some mental health treatment. He had the one discipline since he got back for obstructing staff, and that was merely a sheet hanging in the cell. And he does have some violence, staff assaults in his prison discipline history. So he can become violent. So, I mean, I see kind of just a public safety issue there as well, but also on his safety. So I'm a little bit torn on this one. I would listen to any input from fellow board members. Mr. Johnson?
I'm in agreement with this kind of talk, but I'm leaning more toward he did try to get some treatment programs. He was going to programs. He did have that one. His mother is on the phone, but she's been caught different trying to help him and take him around to get his schedule and his appointments done. He did check himself into for some mental health. He is an SMI. I think that I would be willing to give Mr. Flowers an opportunity to get himself together.
Any other thoughts, Mr. Neal?
Thank you. Mr. Flowers concerns me very greatly. He said more than once that he needed voices, and he said that he cut his hand to stop the voices, and it didn't work. I am not at all in favor of losing him at this point in time, at least not until somebody inside can give him an evaluation and make a determination of whether he's liable to do something like that to himself or somebody else.
No, I apologize. I didn't try it on purpose.
Oh.
I didn't cut myself on purpose.
Mr. Flowers, you need to remain silent during discussion. The board's in discussion. Okay.
Okay. To continue, if you don't mind, can we go out of discussion so I can ask him to clarify that one for you? Okay, Mr. Flowers, all right. When you first said it, you said you cut your hand. Now you're saying you didn't do that? You didn't inflict the wound on yourself?
I grabbed the knife from the kitchen. I was trying to go to sleep, and I kept seeing these images behind my eyelids, like a TV screen was playing in my head, and I said, can you guys go away, please? Can you guys go away? They said, just hurt yourself, kill yourself. I was like, I'm not going to do that. And I went to the kitchen, I grabbed a knife by the blade, and I slammed my hand down. And I slammed my hand down again, and then I just cut my hand open. I have no intentions of harm the body or anything.
Okay, when that happened, where were you at? What kitchen were you in when that happened?
I was sleeping at my brother's house.
Okay,
in
so
the kitchen.
It was while you were at your brother's house. Okay, was that before or after you had been in the hospital?
This was right before I went to the hospital.
Okay.
I went to the hospital to get my hands stitched up, and then from the hospital I went to UPC, which is a mental health clinic.
Okay.
Actually, the doctors, they sent me there.
Okay, the point was clarified. Thank you, sir.
Okay, the board is back in discussion.
Well,
anything else, Mr. Nemo?
No, I think that's all I have to say.
Okay, Mr. Quinones?
Thank you, Ms. Whitmore. This is I'd say a challenging case, because I think we can all agree that Mr. Flowers needs help. And I'm in a similar mindset to you, Ms. Redhouse, as far as being torn, because on one hand, it was a small period of absconding that seems to be related to some sort of health care, but his behavior inside the system is concerning with violence and assault. He has support on the outside. I'm really wrangling with what the best option is for him to be stabilized and receive help. It's obvious he doesn't want to be inside the correction system, but that's in the face of being a three-time convicted felon. So I'm not dismissive of the idea of him being given another opportunity. But then there's the business of public safety.
All right.
Thank you.
Right. Dr. Wright, any thoughts?
Yes, ma'am. I think I'm also kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. I think that to be sure Mr. Flowers wants to be out, I think that, unfortunately, and if I'm not correct, I just need to be corrected by board members and or Mr. Westby. Unfortunately, it's my understanding that we could not dictate where he would be, what facility he would go to, if this board saw fit to release him. And I personally feel that it is important that he had a facility that would. And unfortunately, we're just not in a position to tell him where to go. I guess I'm leaning towards where Mr. Neal was initially. I don't know where Mr. Neal ended up, but I'm leaning where Mr. Neal was initially. So I just leave it at that.
Any further?
I'm after listening to Terry, I'm in agreement that I can go. I don't know what we can do to. It's just. It's concerning. Yeah. And it brought up some real interesting points about the safety of the welfare and the threats that he's making to himself that concerns me.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I'll go ahead and make a motion then. And it's very difficult. It's a very difficult situation. Based on information in law 2018W1938. Our conversation with Mr. Flowers, information provided by his mother, Ms. Wilkerson, information from Mr. Westby. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Flowers was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by using marijuana on spice while on supervision and absconding for 10 days, during which time his parole officer did not know his whereabouts or his activities.
Second.
Agreed.
All right. Motion by myself, seconded Mr. Quinones, was it? Did you second Mr. Quinones?
I did.
Oh, Mr. Neal. Okay, and then agreed, Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Quinones, okay. Okay, Mr. Flowers, you heard the board's discussion. This is a very difficult and complex case. You have a lot of different factors in this case, and we want you to be safe, and we are responsible for public safety as well.
Well, that's the thing right there. I don't go nowhere and leave out of my house.
Understood, sir.
Only one time, and I'm a positive person.
And we can see that, sir. We can see that you're a very positive person. We want you to be safe. We want you to be healthy, and make sure you're getting in there.
I sit in a 12x8 cell, and I sit there and listen to these voices, and it's hard for me. I have a cell. I don't wish no harm upon me. I don't know this place. I barely can find my heart beating and all kinds of stuff is wrong with me.
Understood.
And I don't think this is giving me any kind of help, because when the sites come here, they just do shields and they just ask if anything's wrong with this. I actually need while being incarcerated.
Okay, so well, we wish you the best, sir. Thank you for participating in your hearing today, sir. And we're showing you a release date of May 14th of 2019. So thank you.
I've been down for 10 days. I was in a hospital.
Understood, sir. Sir, your hearing is concluded, and we thank you for participating. Ms. Wilkerson, thank you for participating by phone. And the hearing is concluded.
So I'm on you now?
No, sir. You'll be released on or about May 14th. Thank you, sir.